B-Pod Studios.
By the way, Hattie, I like...
He's the calming voice of the Midday Show.
You're siding with PK. Hey, shut up! I'm going to ask you a question, dumbass!
Hardy.
I've never seen him snap like that.
On Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Celtics, they were able to cut it down, that Miami Heat lead down to three. But then the Miami Heat, they went on a 17-3 run to end that third quarter. Scout, it seemed like the Celtics, they were trying to get something going towards the end of that third quarter. But just what wasn't working for them?
So that was going back to the turnovers. But I thought Jimmy Butler imposed his will in that. And it was the turnovers. It was the steal. And then Gabe Vincent knocking down some shots. But I felt like, whether it's, hey, man, Jimmy Butler, whether they're having the conversation at halftime, you got to step up. You got to do something. Is Jason Tatum the best player in this series? If they're hollering that at Butler, he took that personal. And we know, just by knowing Jimmy Butler, that he don't like it when other – he can be on a court with LeBron James, and he thinks he's the best player on the floor.
Let's get right to Zoe's reaction here in that clip.
Ooh. Like, that's the old Tatum discussion about, you know, you're the best player on the court. And, like, he's got a hell of a, what do you want to say, an easel that he has painted here through the playoffs. And, you know, the track that this thing could go on, eventually maybe beating Steph Curry if we get way ahead of ourselves. But right there, that point about Butler, like, even if I'm playing like LeBron James in his prime, I'm still the best player on the court. Does Tatum feel that way? I don't, like, Tatum feels like Duncan. You know, like, as good as a player Duncan was, it's kind of just, you know, I'm just going to show up and do my thing. I'm going to let my work speak for itself. I don't know. Jimmy Butler's got, he's one of those guys that plays with an edge that gets offended. That, okay, I hear stuff. Yeah, it's going to motivate me. Pisses me off. Like, but he's a big-time vet. He's been through it. You know, Tatum's getting there. He's on his way. Not there yet. I think a lot of people like to crown him as far as the ascension, but that comment right there by Scal, you know, about, you know, even when he's on the floor with LeBron James, Jimmy Butler feels like he's the best player on the court. So maybe
he's not.
I know he's not.
Doesn't make him the best player on the court.
But it just, you know, like Scal said, he imposed his will.
So
on
do you
the
think
Celtics.
Do you think Scal is there saying, you know, we're going to need to see Tatum?
We need more of that from Tatum. Yeah.
But whether or not he does it with attitude or with swagger or however you want to phrase it.
Jason could be lethal without saying or doing it. You know, just knocking stuff down, but just taking over a game. It got away from him yesterday. And I thought Ime, too, said, you know, I didn't like the way that Jalen and Jason responded in that third quarter. They got frustrated.
Well, here's what I would say about Tatum in last night's game. Being 2 of 9 from three. Keep saying this.
It's not good
enough. He's better from three, as so many of the younger NBA superstars are.
Well, they do shoot. Yeah.
If he has a better shooting night, maybe things are a little different. I can't make the case that the entire game is different, but the difference between like 2 of 9 and 4 of 9, I know percentages, that would be great, well, yeah. But I'm just saying.
I understand what you're saying. And it feels like, it felt like a two
swings.
It felt like a 2 for 9 night for him.
Yes. Adrian in Hudson on the Celtics. Adrian.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Haven't called you in a long time. But
thanks for calling again.
Welcome back.
I felt the need to. I just feel like, you know, when you look at Tatum and the Celtics, and there's a lot of people talking about how he has to prove this and that. You know, like, when you really think about it, it took Giannis, 8 years to win? It took Jordan 8 years. Like, Bird and Magic won right away because the league stunk. But, I mean, you know, the guy is only 24, and I know everybody wants them to win now. I know how important it is, but, like, I'm not going to go jump off the Tobin Bridge because they lost the game last night. I mean, it's like, yeah, he's learning, and he may not win for a couple of more years, but I'm not going to act like he's not good enough or he doesn't have that swagger, and he does. I just think that's ridiculous. They're still a very young team, and I'm excited. I've been enjoying their run a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
people really need to calm down.
It's been 4 years in the making. I mean, we've been doing this, and nobody said that he's not. Like, he's had one hell of a year here. We recognize that. But you go up against some of these guys that are, you know, Giannis, Durant, and, you know, when he's right, even Kyrie, go out west, go to Steph Curry, keep going here. You know, Luka, A lot of people would defer to them.
Well, no, like, that's a good one. You bring up Steph Curry, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. Steph Curry won his first title in his sixth year in the league.
Right.
This is Tatum's fifth.
Yeah. But as this team's constructed, you know, and it's just like...
Wait, I don't understand why we have to do that and be more patient right now. The team is good. They've proven they're one of the best
teams
in the league.
It feels like your time's
now,
is my point.
They're, based on some statistical analysis, an overwhelming, ridiculous favorite to win it all out of the four teams left.
Yeah.
Have you seen the 538
yes.
lately?
Yes.
That thing we've been keeping an eye on for months.
You beat Kyrie.
I didn't believe it 3-4 months ago. I still don't believe it now.
But you beat Kyrie, you beat Durant, you sweep those guys, you beat Giannis in seven. Say you beat Jimmy Butler here. Say you end up beating Steph Curry,
but,
and you win the whole thing. He will be elevated to another.
They're firmly in the mix for good reason, and a big part of that reason is Jason Tatum. And I don't think anyone's being overly critical of him at the moment.
No,
I just think people are saying if the Celtics are going to do this thing, they're going to need Tatum consistently
imposes will every night,
consistently on the offensive end. Be more than what he's been to this point in this playoff run. I don't think that's crazy to say, but I fully believe he could be. I'm a Tatum guy. Zoe's a Brown guy. It's the way it's gone around here on this show for a
it's
while.
That edge. Yeah, it's all.
He does. Brown plays with an edge that Tatum doesn't.
Like, Giannis got
Tatum's
his.
Also a much better player.
Like everybody said, like, he took it. He outdueled Giannis. You know, Giannis got his every night. Giannis was a force you couldn't stop. And he ended up getting his every night. Sometimes Tatum doesn't get his every night in the series. This might be another series where he has to, especially if you're down two starters. Who knows? Who knows if Marcus Smart's coming back or Al Horford? Hopefully he'll get Horford back Thursday night. That'll help.
Yeah, I think it took...
That'll help with spacing.
I think it took Giannis a little bit to get going in that series against the Celtics. I get what you're saying. I mean,
you watch the game.
Statistically, there was an impact. I mean, they wore him down.
Yeah, yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Celtics and everything that has gone on to this point in the playoffs, but more specifically last night, game one against the Heat. Smart was out. Horford was out. Unclear on their availability for game two. It does not sound like Horford will be available. How severe is the Smart injury? It kept him out last night. Could that mean it's a longer-term thing? And you got to keep an eye on Rob Williams, too. He left the game last night, not because of his knee, but because of cramping that he was dealing with about, I don't know, 6.5-7 minutes to go in the game.
Understandable.
I think there's more probably precautionary based on the comments from Ime Udoka after the game last night. And, oh, by the way, Ime is not speaking today. He's sick. Non-COVID illness. Not exactly sure what that...
Does that mean somebody speaks in his place or just...
No, that's not, it. He said he'll talk tomorrow after the game. That's what the team said. He's going to talk after it tomorrow.
I don't know. Just coming off the Horford stuff. Like, what the hell is going on?
Can we get to another off Celtics NBA item?
Yeah.
That was reported on last night, and it's not draft lottery related. I'm sure y'all saw enough of that.
Oh, that was an exciting...
How boring is that when your team has no real involvement? It's painful. It's
boring when they do.
Maybe it is.
It may be the... Oh, yeah, I'm not going to rank.
Yeah, I don't care to go to... Whatever. Yeah. But let's get to an NBA item about an in-season tournament. We'll do that coming up next. Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Opinionated. Aquarius is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chris Haynes of Yahoo reporting that the Celtics, Celtics guard Marcus Smart aiming toward a return in game two against the Heat, but Horford unlikely. That's his report on Yahoo. Sources say Marcus Smart aiming.
That's good. He's aiming.
Celtics do not anticipate Al Horford being back. There is a minuscule path in which the veteran big man could fulfill the necessary steps for clearance, but sources maintain it's highly unlikely. That tells me he's
got it. Either is or isn't, right?
Yeah. Smart is aiming for a returning game two, but it is dependent on how his foot responds to treatment over the next 36 hours. I mean, that doesn't tell us anything, does it?
Not really. Also have a report from the Celtics blog.
Aiming.
Yes. What?
Multiple backroom Celtics staff have tested positive for COVID.
That would explain the Horford thing. That would explain how this happened. That's one of the scenarios that someone I gave you 2 hours ago.
This is a potential bad scenario.
That would explain it. That would mean that based on him being a close contact, he may be fully vaccinated, but if he was deemed a close contact under the league's protocols, they would still go and test him
as a result of that outbreak.
To try and, especially if it's multiple staffers and he's a close contact of one of them, they're going to say we've got to try and contain whatever it is we've got going on here. Right. So if Horford's got it, we want to stop it there and not have him give it to more teammates.
And they got this from, it looks like, from Brian Windhorst, who said, just because he's in protocols doesn't mean he's tested positive. But that was the indication yesterday. The Celtics have had multiple positives in their traveling party in this past week.
There you go.
So there has been some concern about this.
I'd be willing to bet that there were other players that were subjected to extra testing and were contacts but came back negative. You know, don't assume that Horford was the only guy who had to test.
Correct.
There could be other players who came in contact with these same individuals in the traveling party that they did not get it from, and they're negative, so they were playing last night. Could be anybody. Mm. Could be Tatum, Brown, name a player, Neesmith, anybody. Peyton Pritchard. Name everybody who you saw on the floor last night. Well, that does give you a little bit of background on it.
He also said that Horford has been showing symptoms.
Oh.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
All right. So our assumptions that he was asymptomatic would be incorrect. Kevin's in West Hartford. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Zoe, Beto, and Hardy. How you guys doing?
Hi, Kevin.
Listen. I just want to, a long time listener, I heard a guy back in January, February on Pritchard. First of all, that he was a CYC Sunday morning hoop player. I thought this kid has developed tremendously. He can interchange in the interior. I'm surprised teams don't back him up as much down on the block. But I really see him coming in and giving a lift, and his shot selection has been great.
You thought last night it was great?
Well, I think it means for the most part.
I mean, for the most part, but my second question is Neesmith. Is he going to be extended in this? Is this because our two guys are out? Because I see him as with the ability to shoot the ball. I mean, are we going to wait along like him, like not Tatum, but to come along and be a viable forward, shooting forward? Because I see a lot of upside on him. And the last point I wanted to make is this team coming from where they have in January when everyone was talking them out of it and basically counting them out, I think we have so much to look forward to. I mean, I just think they're fighters. I think it's going to go seven. I just don't – the one thing that concerns me about Miami is the way they push the ball, and we have to get an early lead on them early in the game.
Okay, Kevin. Appreciate the call. Peyton Pritchard played 30 minutes last night. I don't believe the Celtics want him playing 30 minutes.
No.
They don't have him playing 30 minutes on nights when they're healthy. There are games where Grant Williams has stepped up or Peyton Pritchard has stepped up. It's the sign of good teams, right? Where you have these depth players that can make an impact for a game. But nobody overrates the bench more than Celtics fans. Nobody. Peyton Pritchard and his skill set are replaceable.
Considering Neesmith hasn't played,
Grant Williams
give you what he
and
gave
his
you.
Are replaceable.
Yeah. Right. Neesmith gave
you
what
hope
he could
for
yesterday.
The best.
I take it.
Pritchard gave them scoring last night, right? We'll give him that. He gave them points. He gave them scoring. I actually think he maybe could have had a few more points based on some of the shots they decided to take. I wouldn't say it was great shot selection, but he shot well in the game.
30 minutes.
But
that's a lot for him.
Yeah, it's too much.
That's not a perfect scenario.
It's
but
too much.
You know, gun to the head, you're forced to do things. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a tough spot. I'll keep an eye on
this, I feel worse about this COVID thing.
I don't feel great, man. It's like the fact now
I can't
get
past
you
get that in the last couple of minutes.
It's right. It's like reality, and then all of a sudden, Ime's not available to talk today.
But again,
non-COVID, but
COVID,
no communication here. You know,
all right.
See you tomorrow.
So we had to get to that. The thing we were going to get to is the NBA doing an in-season tournament. They're considering doing it. This has been talked about for what? 6 or 7 years, it feels like. This idea has been kicked around, right?
Yeah.
It always seems far-fetched and never comes to fruition. Well, guess what? They might be getting close to doing it. According to Shams and The Athletic, the in-season tournament could happen as soon as the 2023-24 season. It's unclear exactly how the league plans to have such an event, though. Now, the play-in tournament is not new. We know what that is now, right? Like, that's established, and we know what that is. But like an in-season, you could shut down the league in the middle of the year type of tournament. And I don't mean shut it down in terms of not playing. I mean shut down the regular scheduling of the season.
Would you rather have this than an all-star break? Like, you know, the all-star break, you know, that game is just, you know, it's gone to crap. I don't understand why they need this or want this.
So I would guess that they would eliminate. How many games would they eliminate from the 82-game schedule to do this? What's the most amount of games you could play in the in-season tournament?
10?
5 or 6?
Well, yeah. What's the least number, I would say? Not the most. But, like, if you're going to have an in-season tournament, presumably...
Minimum two, right? Like, double elimination? What do they do?
Yeah, you're not single eliminated.
Yeah, but for the team that goes on to, you know, for the teams that go on to the finals, how many games would they end up playing? You would need... Is every team involved?
I don't know.
We're only going to pick the good teams.
Like, what is it? They already have a tournament.
I don't understand why
it's called
the
playoffs.
Yeah.
What is this for?
I don't know.
But you could get a smaller ring.
What's the reward of winning the in-season tournament?
You get a trophy half the size of the normal trophy. And then you get a half ring size.
Is there an automatic playoff bid in there? I mean, what is it?
Oh, okay. What they should do is pick the worst team.
Isn't the team that's going to win it going to make the playoffs anyway?
Maybe. Is it East and West, and whoever wins the tournament gets the one seed no matter what?
Oh, that'd be great for the end of the regular season. To see a bunch of guys you never heard of taking the court.
I want to know what do you get for it? Is it its own?
It would go from 82 to 78.
Okay, so they would only... Who says that? Who had that report?
That was... just Google. It's Woj from March.
Okay.
Negotiations have centered around an in-season tournament that would begin with pool play as part of a regular season schedule prior to teams with the best records advancing to an 8-team single elimination tournament. That would culminate prior to Christmas.
Christmas?
The season just started.
Wait. I don't even start watching the NBA until Christmas
and
Day.
Christmas Day, Celtics are on it.
And they're only dropping
when the season
the
starts.
Discussed a purse of $1 million per player for the winning team.
Oh.
So it's just money?
Oh. Okay.
And wait, there's four. They're only going to take 4 games off the schedule for that? You know why? Because a lot of the teams won't be playing a lot of games in the tournament. Only a select few will be forced to play a lot of games. As Hardy said, the teams that go deep will be impacted.
But foolish us for not realizing what's the point of it? Money.
Oh, they just want to have money to produce better games in the middle of the season?
Money for the players and money in advertising. They figure it's easier to sell an in-season tournament than it is a December 11th matchup between the Hornets and the Celtics on a Tuesday night.
The success of in-season tournaments in European soccer has intrigued Adam Silver.
Do you think it will work?
No.
Work to what end?
In that people will want to bet on it and feel better betting on that as opposed to regular season NBA games.
I'd be feeling so much happier for the players
who
make
it. It'll work. That'll work.
I think that's what it is.
It's betting, it's money for the players, and it's money for advertising.
I think it's going to work.
Yeah, it's money. It's always the answer.
I think it might stick.
The filthy money.
I'm rooting for that $30 million player to make another million.
I think it might work. I think it's going to make people more eager to bet on those games as opposed to regular Tuesday night NBA games.
Of course, you'll bet on anything.
Well, no. You won't bet on anything because...
No.
Well, I don't agree with that. There are people that bet every day, but if you want to draw in the casual bettors...
Yeah, give them to bet on a tournament who's, the futures for that mid-season tournament. Here's an idea. The $1 million that the player gets on the winning team, they have to... They get it, but only in a Brewster's Millions type of way. They have to spend they get it in cash, and they have to spend it a 12-hour period after the game ends.
I could do that.
You know, like 10:30 that night, you have to spend $1 million by 10:30 tomorrow morning. And then we get to follow them around with the cameras and watch how they spend it and have no assets.
I can't do that.
You can't have anything to show for it. You got to go blow $1 million.
Let's go party.
I think that would be great. That would be worth watching.
That I would watch.
Rent that jet. Let's go right to Vegas.
12 hours.
Let's go.
It's not a bad idea.
Right.
I'm going to rent a 747. Let's go.
How long would you need to spend $1 million and have nothing to show for it? Realistically.
Wolf of Wall Street.
You mean like you don't get to keep any of the things? Or I don't understand when you say nothing.
You've never seen Brewster's Millions?
Yeah, but you said in the style, I mean, it's exactly like Brewster's Millions.
Yes,
went.
You can have nothing to show for your $1 million. You are as you are now. Here's $1 million. Spend it and have nothing to show for it.
It might take a couple of weeks.
34 years.
Or a few months. What would you want to do with it?
Milk and go buy.
Is there a time limit?
Well, for my purposes, to from an entertainment standpoint,
yeah, because my instant idea is, oh, you spend
24 hours.
You spend that traveling, you have nothing to show for it in the end, but you've got to travel with all that money.
24 hours.
Can't put that up your nose in 24 hours. We'll be back after headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here are Zoak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We got to be even more disciplined. Obviously, we wasn't prepared to be without Al, and we definitely wasn't prepared to be without Al and Smart. So it's not an excuse. We got to be better. We still had control of the game in the first half. We lost control in the third quarter in a little bit, and we just got to be better. Got to play better on both sides of the ball. More discipline. We foul entirely too much, and we let the game slip away from us. That's the story.
Hardy, I know you've talked about Marcus Smart not playing in the game last night. How did you feel about Marcus Smart, if you're watching on our simulcast, NBC Sports Boston, was lighting up the huddle? And I don't know if it was in a bad way, but in an animated fashion, Marcus Smart in the huddle. We're showing the video again now if you want to
energy.
Look at this.
Don't get me. Somebody already took me the wrong way, big shock, when I talked about this earlier.
Oh,
I don't have a problem with Marcus Smart not playing. He got a sprained foot. He can't go. Right? I don't have a problem with the. I like the fact that he was there, still with the team. I would feel better about it, ironically, about him being out if he looked a little more hurt.
Get treatment.
Get
treatment.
He's up. He's moving around.
He's our energy. He's our heart. You can't fault him for lighting him up on the sideline.
No, I don't fault him for that, but it's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Can't go. The foot got a bad foot. How bad is it? How bad is that? And I don't want him rushed back. I've learned my lesson with Robert Williams. But how careful can this team afford to be? It's not just on Marcus. It's the doctors. It's the trainers. It's everybody. Like, how careful are you being? Because it's kind of down to the point in the season now where you really don't have as much time to be super careful with injuries and all that stuff. Long term, yes, I understand that. It's all a consideration. But you're sure he couldn't play last night? He seems to be moving around okay. It's a legit question. I'm not saying that Marcus tapped out and that he's soft. Of course not. Marcus Smart's the last person I would ever accuse of that. But what are you doing?
It's a head-scratching look is what it is. And I understand he's their energy guy, their backbone. And they probably tune into him more than Grant Williams. You know what I mean? The mic'd-up Grant Williams stuff. They probably listen more to Marcus.
You're telling me he
don't know.
He's on his feet the entire time.
The scene is odd. Jaylen Brown is off to the side, sitting here watching Marcus Smart in street clothes sort of light everybody up. And I just wonder, with the history. I've said he's got a great pajamas, man. He's got some of the nicest PJs
going.
You know
how stupid we'd look
at that? You know how expensive that probably is, that outfit?
Imagine Tyler.
And it's got like a nice, you know, sort of a Miami Beach type of feel to it. Love it.
He looks good.
We can't pull that off.
He looks fabulous.
If I had a tan, I could pull it. I mean, if I was really like...
No, you couldn't.
Savage tan.
No, you couldn't. You could not pull that off. No, Marcus Smart can pull
savage
that off.
Tan. It's very beachy looking.
So
I like the beach.
I just know like the sort of the history of arguing between Brown and Smart, right? And it's like, how did that play last night?
Yeah.
Marcus, it's hard enough. It's hard enough playing one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. We could use you and Al Horford tonight. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I see what you're saying. It's not from an availability standpoint. You wonder if the rest of the team has an issue with a guy getting up in their face, yelling at
when
him.
When
he's not playing. But even if it's through no fault of his own.
Right.
I understand.
Like, yeah, Marcus, I'm out here playing.
I don't think it's for show. You know? I think he's truly into it. But again, I'm a Hardy. Like, if you got a foot, keep your ass at the hotel with a trainer. Get the treatment for 48 hours.
It doesn't have to be that bad, but I also...
No, but if the foot keeps you out and it's that bad, yeah, that's bad.
It irritated me.
He stood there the whole night on the foot.
Up out on the court during the timeouts, all that stuff. I'm like, I thought he had a foot. I thought he couldn't play.
Couldn't give you 8 minutes?
Right.
10?
Right.
What Neesmith gave you? 11?
Something.
Imagine if he was jumping up and down.
I mean, he's not.
I wasn't watching him the whole game, obviously.
He's not dragging his foot. I mean, he's not lipping around. They showed him walking into the arena. I got all the videos in the hour and a half pregame we watched. Just tip the ball off.
You didn't watch that.
Of course I did.
You didn't watch.
I watched that. I watched Celtic post up with Scal. I watched it all. Tom Kern was on last night. They had a big pregame.
All right, we'll get back to your calls. The NBA in-season tournament, the Celtics in game one, Marcus Smart not playing in game one. All that is next.
Yeah. Beer pow.
Hey. T-Bone tells me I got to go right now.
Hey.
All right. It's Hardy from my friends at Green Valley Medical Clinic. If you're part of the 52%, that's more than half.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over it with a tire.
More headlines in 30
it's
minutes.
Like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
T-Bone, are we going to have an intern every day this summer?
What's going on here?
We are.
So the new intern, Pat, today, right?
Yesterday's intern was, remind me his name again?
Pat.
Brian.
No, Brian. Yes, it is Brian.
Brian will be Monday and Tuesday.
I thought his name was Dan, and then I found out his name was Brian.
Anvilhead.
Brian.
Yep.
Today's intern is Cam.
Cam.
Oh, Cam. Oh, real quick, Cam, we're going to do a test here, and this is how I test the new interns.
Oh, boy.
Do me a favor. Please stand up. Go in the kitchen and get me a glass of water, please. Let's just, don't everybody say anything. Go ahead, Cam. Just go get me a glass of water. Figure it out. Just go. Come on. New building. Just go. Get me a
kitchen's
glass of
water. Kitchen's right there.
I got a little, right. Got a little hair in my throat here. So I just need a glass of water. So he is currently, yep, figured out. Let's see what he does here.
Right in there.
Just to prove my point. About, you know, the string of interns we've had here.
Let's see. Okay, I'll give you the play-by-play now so you can't see him, but he is in the kitchen. Yep. He has found a cup. He started to look to the right area, and he's looking at, oh, my God, he nailed it.
He nailed it.
He figured out in about 10 seconds.
Is he going to the cooler?
No, he went right to the water cooler.
He went to the bubbler.
Normal human being would do.
Bring it right on in, Cam.
Right, come on in.
Cam just completed that task in under 30 seconds. Nice job, first time ever stepping foot in that kitchen.
Are we putting him on today like we put Brian on the first day?
Sit down. You want a seat?
Get a seat. This way you don't think about it and have time to get nervous.
Here's my seat.
Now there's no time to be nervous because you're here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sit down, man. How's it going?
Not bad. You're doing pretty good.
How's your first day?
Pretty good so far. Not too bad.
How'd you get this gig?
I applied, man. You got to put your name out there.
Who'd you interview with?
Tom, I believe. Yeah.
Just Tom?
Just Tom?
Have you met the assistant program director?
I don't think so. No.
He was in the studio earlier.
I did, Jim, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Jim.
Very casual. I like that.
Well, it's
like
better than calling him Louth.
Right.
Which is what Brian
he would have introduced himself as Jim, so to call him Jim would not be disrespectful in any fashion.
It's hard for me to believe that Jim, as you call him, Cam, didn't have a hand in your hiring as you are from?
Rhode Island. Adam Rhode Island.
Jim Tan Laundry, baby. Yes, sir.
Yep.
So what we do here is what I do
so
here.
So pull the mic down.
Oh, sorry.
Help him out, would you?
See, just help him out a little bit.
I want to talk right into that thing.
Gotcha.
Right
there.
Gotcha. Where do you go?
I go to University of Rhode Island.
Yeah, URI kid.
All those URI, you know, Rhode Island checkbox.
My best intern.
Louth checks off.
My best intern ever I had when I used to work at the score all day, score often, down in Providence, was Pat the intern. He went to Rhode Island, played football there.
Oh, wow.
It just stood behind Jim Louth with a baseball bat, never did anything.
Cam, not a football player, but you enjoy?
Basketball.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And I asked him, do you play down there? You're trying to, on a walk on, and what did you say?
I'm just kind of running like I do, you know, just open runs whenever I can get in. You know, I'm not an intramurals or anything like that, but.
To which I said, run? You mean play basketball? Which was a
way. Yeah, it's a run. It's getting in on a run on campus.
He didn't get it.
What's your favorite beach down Rhode Island?
Narragansett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've been to Coast Guard House and all that down there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Not most recently, but.
This is a Louth hire if I've ever heard of.
This is great. So I have to rename the intern. So your name will no longer be Cam for your duration.
You called me earlier Paulie D.
You want Paulie D?
Paulie D. I like that. I don't mind.
It's Paulie D now.
Why not?
This kid's Paulie D.
That could be a problem.
You're going to love Fridays here, man.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be in on Fridays?
What happens?
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
What happens on Fridays?
We have fun on Fridays. Let's get the nice weather.
Zo stops working on Thursday, so Fridays are typically great for him.
We're going to defer to you on the music selection.
You'll never see Zo. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, once Friday.
Have fun in July, bud.
Yeah.
Zo doesn't work a lot of Fridays.
Get a good look at the guy right now, because you're not going to see him.
All right, good.
Good job, buddy.
Appreciate
summer
it,
intern. Welcome to the show.
Cam,
thank you.
Welcome aboard.
All right. Let's party.
Appreciate we got Cam, nice. We got Brian now. That's summer, what we have around here.
Summer intern that works Thursdays and Fridays. Yeah, soak in as much Zolak as you can on Wednesday.
No, he's got Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Oh, okay.
Right? No, sorry.
We have a Monday, Wednesday, and we have a Wednesday,
Thursday.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I didn't follow. So I'm an idiot.
Meet is in what days?
This might be the only time you see Zo.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Now, do you like that or do you not like that?
What's that?
Having the interns back-to-back days.
I don't care.
I think it's probably better for them that they work back-to-back days. Personally, that's my thought. They're probably going to pick more things up doing a day-to-day situation.
Yeah, it used to be a former. So, like, what helped you the most early, like when you intern? Like, I mean, you know what they should be doing.
Do I, though?
Yeah, but you've been through it.
Yeah. So have I. So has Tyler.
I'll tell you what they used.
Exactly.
There used to be a lot more cutting of sound as an intern when I was an intern. There was a lot of that.
I'm sitting around right now.
That's where I really learned how to do it. Yeah, under the under Jay Stu.
It's good water.
I was Jay Stu's intern in 2005, I think.
Hey, get the sound.
Yeah.
Cut the sound.
Hey, cut up.
That's why your technique's press so bad. Conference.
Get the
my technique. Yeah. Stop that.
This is a joke.
It's impeccable. I'm a perfectionist when it comes to setting up and clipping 10-second sound bites for sports updates.
Make sure
nobody better.
Make sure you leave the crowd's noise in there when Manny hits the home run.
No, you know what? The best thing about an internship is just making friends with the right people. You know, that's all. That's
he's already in with me.
What it comes down to, make friends. Make friends. That's the most important.
What's the most important friend you made when you were interning, Beetle?
Do you want to know who it was?
Yes.
It would have been John Wallach.
Wow.
Yep. Because John Wallach was instrumental in getting me hired to do sports flashes.
That's big.
6'7". Yep.
What?
Nothing.
I would say he was nearly solely responsible for that. The only other guy who could claim any credit for it would be Marshall Hook.
Murderer's Row, though.
Hook and Wallach hired me for sports flashes. Yes.
Mine's Scott Zolak.
Attaboy. T-Bone.
What?
T-Bone. Bless you. Thought it was Tangway. Didn't Tangway get you in here?
Get what?
Help T-Bone get in here.
He's saying it's you to hurt our feelings.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy. Milliken, who's yours?
It would be Tom.
You know who's going to be pissed? I said it was Wallach. Jay Stu's going to be like, I thought I was the most important person.
No, but I think you, but Wallach helped get you in, but you learned the most from Jay Stu, probably.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. But the most important friend there was Wallach. Yep. All right. Well, Care. Now that we get that out of the way.
Good job, Cam. I mean, Paulie D.
So we get that figured out.
Paulie D.
How do you think how would you grade our internship program, T-Bone? What would you say?
In terms of what?
Has it produced successful talent such as Tyler Milliken?
It's an intern-run show now. Me?
Well, yeah, T-Bone was an
pretty much.
Intern, T-Bone
so.
Was an intern on the show. He is now executive producer.
Nate is not here anymore.
Milliken was an intern just, what, two years ago?
Spring 2020.
Spring of 2020. Now he's Milliken.
Oh, my God.
Did another one get hired that didn't work out?
Jimmy the intern? The one a bartender didn't know how to make a screwdriver?
Tyler was an intern?
Thanks, yes. Hardy. Yes. Tyler we kicked him to the curb when COVID hit.
Tyler was one of our interns, and we booted him once they, you know, evacuated the building.
Well, okay, so how many times were you in?
Tuesday and Thursday, probably for like 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, it was a month and a half.
I don't remember that.
I was a lot more quiet at that point in time.
Hard to imagine, right?
Yeah.
Well, then you guys had me on to talk about Mookie Betts. That was a start.
Huh.
How soon we forget.
Well, good job.
Let Cam know if he has any hot takes. He's always welcome.
It's basketball. This is his wheelhouse right now.
If you got takes, we want to hear them. Okay? Anytime. Hot takes are welcome. What?
People love him already.
Do they?
Yeah.
For reviews are in, it's positive?
Yeah. He's got the Rhode Island twang.
He's kind of got a Machine Gun Kelly thing going.
It's the kid. These kids nowadays.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that.
Oh,
good.
Just with a little bit, the hair.
You Jack Harlow guy?
Yeah, he likes Harlow.
Yeah, okay.
How about the Who?
No. He says they're not as good as the Beatles.
Who at the Garden tonight? Do you think Milliken could name a single Who song?
No.
Of course he could.
No, he cannot.
I have nothing for you.
See? Not a single one. Come on. Can you think about it for a moment? What if we were to play you a couple of Who songs? Could you maybe think of it without
how about
obvious lyrics? Could you come up with a name? of those songs?
No way.
If we refreshed your memory?
There's no memory to refresh.
Damn.
You could play the songs and he still wouldn't know them.
Yeah, yeah. T-Bone, why don't you just bump back with the Who for the rest of this show and get me pumped for the show tonight?
Yeah, why don't you do that, T-Bone?
Yeah.
Taking Katie.
Oh, that's that'll be fun.
Well, father-daughter concert night. Her first, I call it her first real concert. She's been to, you know, whatever. Harry Styles.
Pop music crap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they were good shows, but I wasn't there. I'm not going to go to Olivia Rodrigo, but I'll take her to see the Who.
Okay. All right, let's get to the headlines. We're right back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.